paper 17 is the IFRIC update from the March 2013 meeting. And there are four items I wanted to highlight for you. The first item is up the top of the second page, and it's the project that the IFRIC has been working on relating to variable payments for separate purchase of PPE and intangibles. The Interpretations Committee has completed its discussions on this issue now. It's something that I have sort of brought to you and talked to you about in previous meetings. And so we will be bringing a paper to you for discussion of this issue in more detail. Our plan is for the June ISB meeting. The second item that I wanted to bring your attention to was one of the two finalised agenda decisions, and it's the first one. It starts just at the very bottom of the second page, going on to the middle of the third page, relating to valuation of biological assets using residual method. Now, this is a situation where the valuation of the assets, in this case, biological assets, together with the land, is done as one valuation, and then you subtract the value of the land from the total to get the valuation of the biological assets. And this is an issue where there are concerns about the value you end up with for the biological assets if the land actually has higher and better use used for other purposes. Now, the example that was brought to us was in the context of biological assets. This could also arise in the context of buildings on land as well, where the better use is to demolish the building and start again. We'll be bringing a paper to you at a future meeting to just articulate clearly what the issues are that are being faced by preparers in this area. The third issue I wanted to bring to your attention was on the seventh page, and that is an item connected with IFRS 3 and business combinations and the mandatory purchase of non-controlling interests in business combinations. So a circumstance where an entity acquires a controlling interest in a listed entity, for example, and securities regulations require that that new parent makes an offer for the remaining shares. And the questions that we were looking at here at the Interpretations Committee were, first of all, should the shares that are acquired as part of that secondary offer, should they be included as part of the assessment of the business combinations accounting that is done for the controlling stake? And secondly, whether during the period in which that offer stands, whether there should be a liability recognised in respect of that offer. These two issues we'll be bringing to you by way of a paper at a future meeting. The first one of those two was where the Interpretations Committee reached agreement for an annual improvement, but perhaps the more significant one that we'll be wanting to discuss with you is the whether or not there should be a liability recognised. There were divided views on this, but overall the committee did not recommend that there should be a liability recognised in that circumstance, and so we obviously want to bring that details of that decision to you as part of that future paper.
Can I ask?
Yes.
In the very last paragraph on this, I'll just read it. So the Interpretation Committee directed you to report to us your view, and note the ISB could address this issue as part of this its post-implementation review of IFRS 3. So that means that they expect us to, or they suggested us to consider this during the post-implementation to gather more information, and then this will remain dormant until there?
Well, that is their recommendation, and clearly that's something that we will present to you in the paper, setting out the different arguments, different technical arguments for and against recognising the liability, and the basis for the committee's decision on this. Yes, this is part of their recommendation that that's how it should be done, and obviously it'd be for you to decide whether that you want to include it into the post-implementation review.
I think, Michael, we need to have a discussion on first, There are real issues, how big is it, how urgent it is, and waiting for the first implementation is only one possibility. We might make a limited amendment if there is an urgent need to address it. I'm not sure it's only the only possibility. It's a limited scoping, and we could do it as well before because it is urgent.
Absolutely. The post-implementation reviews do not limit the board's ability to be able to address issues they feel are more urgent for that particular standard.
PK.
Michael, is IA 16 the very first issue?
Yes.
Can you explain in plain English what happened here?
Okay. This is a circumstance where you purchase an asset.
Yeah.
And you agree with the person you're buying it from that you're going to pay them a certain amount up front and that you might pay them additional amounts in the future, but whether you pay additional amounts and what those additional amounts will be are contingent on future events occurring. And so the questions that the Interpretations Committee has been grappling with here is, on day one, when you receive the asset and you've signed the contract, should you recognise a liability in respect of the potential future payments? And if so, how should you account for that? And then when you come to in subsequent periods to either recognise for the first time a liability that you hadn't recognised previously on day one, or a liability that you had originally recognised and you revise the amount of that liability because you've got more information, how should that adjustment to the liability be recorded? Should it be reflected as an adjustment to the cost of the asset, or should it be recorded as an expense in the income statement?
So you'd never answer the first part of the question, which is that whether the variable payment should be recognized or not.
Indeed, yes. The Interpretations Committee were divided in their views on that as to whether or not current standards led them to recognize a liability, particularly in circumstances where the future contingent payments are contingent on actions by the entity itself. So in other words, if it was, for example, based on the entity's future sales, well, you know, to what extent is that within the control of the entity, and therefore they have the opportunity to avoid that liability?
So I'm asking is that this will come to the board for ratification, and board this will go to the board for the we will get this paper down the road.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The committee is recommending some amendments to IS 39, IS 16, IS 38 in respect of this on the subsequent measurement side of the liability rather than the initial measurement side, but initial recognition side. But obviously we will include discussion of the debate that they had within that paper so that you get the full picture.
Yeah, but the only comment I have is that notwithstanding the accounting answer where I have my own views, how is this going to be responsive to the initial question that was asked by the constituent to answer the first portion? We said we didn't answer it in 2011. We continue not to answer. So are we not kind of piecemealing the divergence in practice? Because I think the issue came, there is a divergence, then how do you account for it?
Yeah.
And it looks funny that you're jumping the first hoop and going to the second hoop.
The tension really comes, I think, more to do with the subsequent accounting. And it's because of the guidance that we have in IAS 39, which at the moment says, adjustments to a financial liability are recognized in profit or loss. And many people would say that doesn't make sense. It's inconsistent for a start with IFRIC 1, which gives guidance about revisions of a non-financial liability. And they say, well, you know, this is part of the cost of my asset, additional amounts I have to pay to be able to purchase this asset. So there is this tension. And so dealing with the subsequent measurement part does deal with that tension. And so that was the main driver, I think, of this coming to us. Yes, you're right, it doesn't deal with this additional point about the initial recognition, or at least the Interpretations Committee didn't feel they could reach an agreement on this. Maybe you would feel that you could, in which case, you know, even better.
It would be odd that the IFRIC would answer one part of the question and leave open the
key point, which is what you do on day one, and maybe we should consider doing something on this day one accounting to make the basis for IFRIC really more meaningful.
Yeah, not that I agree, but we should consistent with the Lisa's answer. At least that way there is some consistency and some continuity of answer. And because I don't think existing literature will give you one way or the other the answer, and you can get to it because I'm just leaving a hole which is not filled up.
Hey, Michael, you know,
I might dissent, but that's a different
issue. Yeah, I've raised several times, you know, I think we should link three projects, you know, together. There's a revenue from the sales side, and leading from both sides, and this one. And think about, you know, the let's link to leasing. You know, we have three choices. First choice is based on so-called the acceptance fixed amount you should record on that day one. And another one based on the PK's idea, he dissent on board general conclusion. You know, maybe PK one based on the expected notion, and you will recognize another amount. And third one is not recognize amount day one based on expected, not recognize an amount based on minimum, and all amount will be subsequent ones that are based on the, for example, the utilities or unit of production and others. So we now say day two, you should do so, but don't know day one. And I'm not sure, you know, whether we allow at same practice, you know, because since we don't want to provide guidance on day one, and assume by the end, entity will recognize day one differently, then day two will have a different answer. So I'm not sure whether we will, no. The major purpose of IFRIC efforts is to reduce diversified practice. And since we not answer question on day one, and then day two will be based on different measurements on day one, and the practice will still be diversified, you know.
Yeah. It will be artificial, artificial convergence in practice if you have a different basis on day one.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Okay. All right. The Thank final you. Point that I wanted to just bring to your attention was related to the issue on page 10, and that is the committee's ongoing work with regards to IAS 19 employee benefits and the discount rate. You'll recall that we brought this issue to you for guidance at the previous meeting, and so we've reported back to the Interpretations Committee your guidance there. We'll be discussing this with them again at the May meeting with proposals for how IAS 19 could be amended to give greater clarity in this area. So those were the four points that I wanted to highlight for you. Are there any other questions that you have?
Do you have any hedging issues coming in your pipeline?
No, we haven't. Should we expect some?
Jan's right. Okay, let's continue with any questions.